Welcome to another episode of Rough Talk VR, a weekly podcast with in-depth game reviews, exclusive developer interviews, and the latest MetaQuest and virtual reality news. We join our hosts, the father-son team of D. Scruffles and Stratus today, as they spend another episode breaking down and discussing the world of virtual reality.
Hey, welcome to this episode of Rough Talk VR, kicking it off this week with another edition of VR News.
Dun, dun, dun.
We'll also have a great interview dropping on Wednesday that was so much fun to record.
Yeah, wiki cool, dude.
Yeah, high energy, to say the least. That's a good way to put it. Mm. We're talking with Joe Halper from Nope Challenge on Wednesday. But today, we're talking news, all the latest and greatest in the world of VR. And the big thing to kick it off this week, it's not really any news that you'll
biggest
find.
Biggest news in VR ever.
Yeah, it's not any news you'll find on Upload VR or Road to VR.
I don't think they're blowing up our emails.
Or anything like that. But for us personally, thanks to the support of our Patreon supporters, anybody that's donated on YouTube, a little bit of ad revenue, Spoon coming in with a huge love bomb as well.
A nuclear bomb.
You know, everybody that's helped support us, we have been able now to order two PC VR ready computers.
They're nice machines too, man.
Well, we don't have them yet. Well, scheduled to come in this week.
On paper, they're nice machines,
to say the least.
Coming in, well, technically yours tomorrow, and then mine the next day.
Theoretically, should be able to run just about anything. I think the only thing that might give us a challenge still is Microsoft Flight Sim at full settings, because I've heard that melt anything in the world.
Yeah.
But you know, we should be able to have some fun for the coming years, to say the least.
Every review I've read on the video card is pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. And look, our podcast is going to remain pretty much the same. We're Quest focused.
Yeah, here's how I see it though. It's like, so let's just say Ghost of Tabor, right?
Mm-hmm.
I probably will play it PC VR more than not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or better, fucking Grim.
Mm-hmm.
I have full intentions of, I want the absolute best, but I'm still gonna, you know, play standalone.
Walkabout mini golf? Is it worth it to set up PC VR just for?
There's no reason to. It's just there's certain games that I want in it. Mm-hmm. I personally feel like, depending on how frame rates go versus standalone, it's like you might have a little bit of an advantage on PC VR versus standalone.
I can't argue.
So.
And to me, it's more than the new content being able to be made. Like I said, the podcast is probably going to remain the same. It's
99.9% the same.
It's now with the community things. You know, there are times where in the Discord, people would be meeting up for games and we couldn't partake because it's PC VR only. Or just to understand what's going on in that world, those titles, you know, support that side of things. I think it's important for us.
I'd also,
even if we don't cover it for content.
I also want the ability to, when something's cross-buy,
compare.
That we can say, correct, like, legitimately, like, hey, to be totally honest, there wasn't that much of a difference between the two. Or, and we'll say like an After the Fall type situation, because we already know After the Fall looks...
That's what people keep saying. That's the number that's one the to compare. That's the word on the street. And
so
the word
just
on the
to
Discord.
Be able to say when we do discuss something, if we've been able to play it on both, like how the visual compares, because we still want to focus all our attention on standalone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great opportunity, and it's something my computer's name is Spoonmelia.
Yeah. I was joking because when I gave a shout out to everyone in the Discord, you know, who's supported, donated, you know, part of the Patreon, all that, I didn't put Crispy and Shoes right next to each other. So Shoes was like, oh, it's weird to not see Crispy Shoes.
Crispy Shoes.
And I was like, well, I kind of feel like that's what I got to name the rig.
That's what you'll name it?
I don't know 100%, but it would be funny.
Spoonmelia.
Spoonelia?
Spoonelia. That was it. Yeah, Spoonelia.
I laughed when you sent that.
Yeah, I want to get a little happy looking spoon.
A little sticker to put on it.
Right?
Something like that.
I think it's deserved.
No,
probably our two biggest supporters in getting PC VR.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, no excuses now for not being able to check out a title or explore a certain thing. It's going to be great for our personal exploration and knowledge of the world of VR, but also now for community stuff. Like I said, meeting up with people.
Oh, and production as well.
Yeah.
That whole side of it too.
This is
designed
our
last
week recording on this laptop, right? Theoretically.
Which, dude. I mean, that would have probably been the quickest way to a PC, would have just to really show pictures of what we're working on.
It's falling apart right now. I can't shut
it's
it.
It's in tough shape.
I can't shut it.
Well, you can.
It won't open again.
Correct.
Ever. If I shut it, if the next time it shuts is the last time.
Yeah.
The next time it shuts is the last time it ever, ever shuts. Then you're going to open it. You're going to crack, 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 crack.
Pieces of the frame going to come popping mm-hmm. out everywhere.
Spitting out plastic everywhere.
But I'll give the little buddy.
He's kicking.
Little buddy.
No. Functionally, he's doing his thing.
What we've asked of it is
so
incredible.
Extensive for yeah. what it can offer.
So what we can plug into now in the studio is mm-hmm. going to be like.
I don't think that'll make any quality difference or anything, but it will speed up editing and stuff like that too.
Yeah. So it's an overall.
I'm excited. Thank you to everybody that supported us.
I'm fucking excited, dude.
Yeah,
you
we got some
me?
PCVR, baby.
I'm off on Wednesday too. Knock on wood.
Wow.
So
mine's theoretically going to come Tuesday. Yours Wednesday.
Yeah.
I don't believe it till it's in my hands. I'm going to guess we're going to have some setup headaches. Yeah. You know, figuring this out. This doesn't work. I'm not expecting to dive into it until the weekend, next weekend.
Yeah, man, there's going to be a lot to figure out.
Maybe I'll play Undisputed Boxing, the flat screen boxing game. Figuring out flat screen is going to be no brainer. I'm going to plug that shit in, download Steam, and there we go.
Yeah, I was like, there's nothing in my
Steam. I've never set up PCVR before.
That would even cause this thing to like mm-hmm. take me serious. I mean, I have Microsoft Flight, but you know, flat screen, it's not going to max out to any stretch. But mm-hmm. yeah, no, there's a learning curve coming our way, I'm sure. So I'm just excited. I just want to get my hands on it, and you know, I still got locale issues mm-hmm. of how exactly this is going to be set up. Right now, a router's in a different room upstairs. I'm downstairs playing,
experimenting. So. Like I said, I'm not expecting anything till the weekend.
Yeah,
but it's going to be a fun week. I feel like a kid waiting for Christmas. It's like, is it Tuesday yet?
It's also a door opener mm-hmm. in some cases. There's been. I mean, full disclosure, right? Because we're pretty transparent. But there's been games that developers have wanted us to try, but it's on Steam mm-hmm. first, not directly on App Lab yet. And it sucks because some of them were pretty freaking good.
So what you're saying now is this is a benefit to the whole VR community, right?
I told you, it's epic news here, man. But no, in all seriousness sense, it's a game changer. Mm-hmm. No pun intended.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive into it. Really,
Spinelia.
It's going to be a challenge between exploring new titles that I couldn't access before.
And currents.
And also, yeah, comparing ones that I have played. But, you know, I want to compare the difference in the two. So, good times ahead
no
for us.
No Man's Sky, I'm excited to try that.
Yeah.
I've heard it's not great, but I don't care. You know, I heard it wasn't great and we were day oneers. Thanks to you, I bought that fucking game day mm-hmm. one, too. Yeah. I was angry at you for a little while.
Yeah, I got a day one as well, too. Don't worry.
You sold me that game is what you, before it
they
came out.
They sold me. They lied to me. I mean, look, the game's come around now, but I'll never buy a game from them at launch again. Fool me once.
I mean, we should have known. It was some pretty remarkable.
You should hear them hyping up their next game.
Oh, no. What is it?
Unbelievably ambitious.
Well.
I'm like, fool me once. I'll get it a year
remember
after.
They went into hiding?
That's the thing, you know, you F up, at least be straight with me.
Dude, gamers, so they have to go into hiding. Now, we know developers have gotten
yeah, so who
threats.
Knows what was going into their inbox.
And the masses that bought that mm-hmm. with the expectation of what but here's the thing, I'm not going to lie, dude, I always liked it. So even in the early days,
I played it maybe like a weekend and was like, wow, I think I just did everything.
Really?
Oh, no,
man. I tried flying to the center of the universe because I heard it could be done. And then obviously, and I was naming planets everywhere because I'm like, I'm the only person in the universe that named this planet. I loved that aspect of it. So even though it was probably limited to that and repetitive plant mining, we'll say, or planet mining.
No, I'm excited to check it out in VR, though. Okay. And same with Star Wars Squadrons, all those things. I have those on my library.
Oh, what's the flying one? It was put in our Discord, too. It was one of the ones that I own it flat screen, too. It's a great flying game, dude.
Don't remember.
Oh, it's going to drive me crazy. But whatever. Yeah. So I'm excited for that one. Squadrons is, I have that for Xbox, I think. don't play as much as I thought I would.
Well, different in VR, though. I'm excited to check it out. So, besides the news of us getting, you know, PC VR, it was kind of cool to see B-Haptics, known for, obviously, their haptic devices. Probably the leader in VR haptic devices, too.
It's the name you think of.
Actually, even a sponsor of this episode, you'll hear a little ad read for them later in this episode when we take a break midway through. But it was announced last week that they are now officially a Made for Meta partner, and their Taxu haptic vests, they're 20% off until April 28th to celebrate this.
So you got pretty much a week. Yeah, you got a week. Take advantage of that 20%. But they're the name that when you hear haptic vests, that's the one that you're going to go to.
And I'll give B-Haptics a lot of credit too, because a lot of these, I guess, VR accessory devices are PC VR only, kind of back to our dilemma that we were on before being standalone. But B-Haptics, it's natively compatible with the Quest. And there's so many games on the Quest library that are compatible with B-Haptics.
I have a feeling it's about to get more
intense.
Yeah.
Now that they're officially Made for Meta, now that they're official partner.
I think, selfishly, because we're Quest users, I think it's fantastic news. Mm-hmm. Not that you couldn't use it before, but now if there's being specifically made in partnership with Meta, come on, man. You got two fantastic companies. There's going to be some cool shit coming.
Yeah, and they have two models of the tax suit. You know, they have a more budget-friendly one and then a more higher-end one if you want to go that route, you know, much like the Quest, right? So it's cool to see, though. A nice sale, too, 20% off if you've ever been thinking about getting it.
That's a good chunk.
That's probably the time to do it. In all of our time of podcasting, man, I feel like I've only seen B-Haptics go on a good sale a handful of times. It's not something they do often.
No, I've definitely seen them promoted a lot. The reviews on them are always freaking...
Everybody loves their stuff. And
exactly.
They sell more than the vest. That's just what's on sale. It's always discounted.
That's one of the biggest selfish wishes when we started in VR was...
Haptics.
Haptics, man. It just makes sense. Just like when they can really, really master, you know, thin gloves that have pressure points. So when you grab a board or a pipe gun.
They do have haptic gloves.
I know.
B-Haptics. B-Haptics has so... Man, what I'll give them credit, though, I think the only thing they don't have is head. Like, I've seen, like, they have the arms,
and
they have the
hands.
That's
kind of a beef of mine, man, because...
You get shot in the head so much?
You know, peek my head around a corner and go sit to board. What do you think? I'm getting shot in the chest? No, I'm getting shot in the head. It'll even say it. Or what about when you shoot people in the head?
You know, I love myself a good headshot. Just last night, we were playing Ghost of Tabor.
Just a little bandana, a little thing.
Just last night, we were playing Ghost of Tabor. I shoot an NPC from a good distance, and I got him right in the eyeball. I was so proud of it.
Oh, yeah, I see you. I was, like, covering off to the right, and I see you come running over, dragging him behind you. I go, what are you doing? I got to show you what...
Look where I got him.
Got to show you where I shot him. Look at that, right in the eye.
Remember that I hung him out the window of the building?
We were using scarecrow decoys.
Just hanging out, arms flapping. Oh, man, I love Tabor.
Dude, that was a good raid, too.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one to use B-Haptics with, but I get exactly what you're saying because I do get shot in the head. Yeah.
Contractor showdowns.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be...
Thrill the fight. I'm going to go into thrill. Yeah. If I get a haptic vest, I'm going to go into thrill the fight with my hands up like this. It's over my head, but blocking my face and just letting people, let the NPC rip the body, you know?
I got to, I got to like restart playing thrill the fight because we got challenged for when the second one comes out.
It was for when the second one comes out, not for Creed?
I don't think it was for Creed. I thought it was for when Thrill of the Fight 2 comes out.
Okay. Yeah. I'm down for that. Give me some training time. My shoulder's been acting up a bit, so that gives me some practice time. Man, one time we did Creed multiplayer, me and you. Now, granted, these days Creed has an endurance mode on it because back when we played Creed, there was like the built-in stamina.
Yeah.
So your character could run out of stamina. Now it's still like that, but they have a different game mode as well called endurance. So you can set it so there is no in-game stamina, only your real stamina.
You're the stamina.
But back then, we had played it PvP style, and there's the in-game stamina. I'm not going to say that that's the excuse. I just want to put that fact out there as well. But you gave me the two-piece and the biscuit.
Yeah,
you lit me up. The whole family meal, actually. Lit me up real good. I'm sitting there, you know, because you got to swing your arms to come back. I'm like, what the hell, man? I think my character just ran out of stamina real bad, though, because I feel good, you know?
I was pretty proud of myself.
Yeah, you lit me up real good. We've never played it again since. Yeah, that was very early into us having VR, too.
So, yeah, we've accepted the challenge for...
Jay Brat jokingly... he didn't call us out. He was interviewing somebody, and they go, who would you box?
It's no joke. I accepted on the YouTube comment, and it was acknowledged, so it's a done deal.
We got to make Rocky Balboa training montages.
I believe we call that a legal document at that point. I've got signed acknowledgement. No, I'm just talking shit. I'm hyping it up. Jake Pauling it. I loved the idea when we heard about it.
I'm down for it.
I'm like, you know what? If it's really going to be Thrill of the Fight 2.
There should be a whole creator tournament as well. Like a 16-man woman person, 16-person.
16-person, yeah.
Thrill of the Fight tournament.
Because that's the beauty of, it's true with the fighting games in VRs. It doesn't matter. Your true weight class isn't going to dictate. So you could be 90 pounds.
Probably might actually be a benefit.
Could.
Because of fast hands.
Speed.
There's no way.
Lightning speed
headsets,
jab.
Headsets don't pick up power.
So you could be 4'11", but your fighter is, you know, potentially 5'8", 5'10".
Imagine the power that the headset registers like a Floyd Mayweather jab as, just because it's so fast. Headset probably can't even track it.
I don't think it could track it.
The controller tracking is probably
true fist. You wouldn't think, right? Because that's fast. Like, especially like a pull, an in and out jab. Pa. Nothing might happen. You know, like you threw a legit knockout jab and the character just stand there like never saw the hand move.
But Thrill of the Fight 1, the one that's currently out now, the first game I bought in VR. I mean, I watched Thrill of the Fight for years before I got a headset. Always wanted it just because I love...
It's a great game.
I love combat sport games so much, boxing games, the UFC games. So Thrill of the Fight was a must buy to me and I love it, but there's no multiplayer in it. And 2's been in the works for a while now and they're tight-lipped on it. Z-Loss Interactive 2 has been announced since we started this podcast.
Yeah.
And they have said jack about it. They haven't said anything about it.
Well, we know it's going to be multiplayer.
They have said that there's going to be multiplayer. Yeah. Yes.
And it will be boxing.
Yes. And there will be improved on the first one. And they picked up a publisher like a year ago. And that's about all we've gotten. But it's in the works.
You speculate that they have hand tracking?
So it's funny you say that. At the time that when I first got Thrill of the Fight 1, you know, think of when we first got the Quest 2, he was asked about hand tracking. The answer was what was logical at the time, that the hand tracking is not at the point to be able to pick it up because of speed and stuff. But we're talking about the controllers maybe struggling to track a pro boxer's hand speed, let alone the hand tracking 3 years ago. Now, I mean, dude, they got to at least be experimenting with it, right?
Because the boxing game that can come out with the hand tracking... Oh, dude, that's when they can give you the gloves.
That guy's got to have made a couple mil off of Thrill of the Fight. It's such a big game.
A couple?
Jared Cannonier, the UFC, top UFC middleweight, he uses it to cut weight. Dude, Dana White's endorsed it so much. Said how awesome it is. I know, right? And it's so fairly priced, $9.99.
I would go on a limb and you know, hey, maybe I'm way off, but I would say over 10 mil.
Well, let's think, though. $9.99.
Mm-hmm.
30% to Meta, that becomes $7.
Mm-hmm.
And then taxes. So he's probably walking away with like, what, $4 per game?
Game's been around forever, though.
$4 per game. So he would have had to sell like, what, 2 mil? Just like 2.5 mil to hit 10 mil? 2.5 mil units? I mean, it's possible.
It's a lot, though.
Yeah. I think he sold, I'd wager at least, you know, 3 mil.
I'd prefer to just assume he got the $9.99.
It just sucks when you start to break it down
yeah,
with the cut and then taxes, how much actually more you have to sell to hit.
It's part of the struggle when
any business.
Companies have to come up with the prices for something.
30% is a hefty cut of any, that's how every storefront is.
And then what did you spend to make it? And if you got to factor in, you know, only $4
for a $10 game, you can see why developers lean towards pricing things. 15.
That's where the 14.
20. 25.
If a developer just came right out and said, look, my game is $9.99, all right, but I'm going to have to charge you $14.99 so I can get my
$9.99.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd buy that.
Mm-hmm.
Like just the full honesty that, look, pay a little extra so I don't, you know, I get my cut back. Still have to give my cut, I'm just asking you to pay the extra $5 of it.
And then, you ready? Mm. Beyond that 30% and shit, then you have an unconsensual, non-optinable 25% referral hit.
That can come
out of your game at any point.
Yeah.
That comes at your end of things, too. You know, it's like, oof, can be tough out there. So I can see why developers lean on a higher price at times. But you know what's crazy? We out here from B-Haptics. Right? Am I crazy?
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about B-Haptics. We ended up on this. Well, you know,
Thrill the Fight.
Things happen. Well, because there's B-Haptics support with Thrill the Fight. If you go to B-Haptics' website, they do a great job showing the full catalog of games that they have support for. You can filter it by, you know, console and computer games because it's not only VR. Then you can also filter it by PC VR only games, and then you can filter it by standalone VR only games too.
Which, again, so it's huge that you can even.
So it's very easy to find the games that support it. So we'll do one more piece of news because it's kind of related to this, and we'll take an ad break before we forget because we're in a rambly jambly mood. But Dungeons of Eternity, they announced what their next update's going to be. I mean, they've done a great job staying active with the game.
They're staying true to their roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got faith they're going to keep doing everything they ever said they would do, and then some.
And they've done a great job listening to the community, what the community wants. Even when they were doing that Christmas event, remember that limited time event with the items? They ended it early based off of community feedback because people felt it was going on too long. They just wanted the normal game back, and boom, they listened. As you said, they put out this roadmap at the start. They stayed true to it. Really good job. And I mean, even to that, they won Game of the Year from us for our awards. And then I don't think we went back into it till like, what, late February?
Mm-hmm.
And when we went into it, we're like, holy shit, there's a lot of new rooms. Things felt improved. Even then, in their next update, it's bringing two-handed weapons, like two-handed swords. So that's going to be pretty epic. It's going to bring 25 plus new room varieties as well.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was something, like I said, when we went in after not being in a couple months, I noticed some new rooms. So to have 25 plus more variety of them, that's huge. And then it's also going to have a new difficulty mode, which is good because we've been playing it again. And the last couple times, we've stormed through the last difficulty.
We're playing on the hardest difficulty.
And very rarely do we lose unless like freak things like we both jump off the edge at the same time, not realizing that the other one did it at the same time. And then, oh,
but that's
shit.
Not like...
That's not
dying from gameplay. That's self-inflicted.
That would have happened on the easiest difficulty. That's just us being momos, you know? So it's cool to see an even harder difficulty. Shit, I might, depending on how hard this difficulty is, I might even still petition for one or two higher.
Need an extreme mode.
They're also raising... Now, this one's going to be called Nightmare Mode for the difficulty. They're also raising the level cap to level 60. Then they're adding in randomized loot. So, like, we've been guilty of this, where we'll find a good dungeon, we'll save it after we beat it, or because we didn't beat it and we want to do it again. And we'll remember, example, in the first room, there's a key right on that stone. So then next time you go in, there's a key right on that stone. Now the loot's randomized. Now you go in, there might not be a key on that stone. Might be some gold or maybe even nothing. So that's going to be huge for, you know, the ability to... Kind of nerfing the ability to farm saved dungeons. Because, again, that's something even...
There's some good ones, too.
Yeah, we've been guilty of it. And then also, relevant to the last news, Dungeons of Eternity will be adding B-Haptic support to it. So that's going to be cool. You sit there, you get hit by an arrow. It might actually help you because you'll be able to feel...
Where it came from.
Yeah. Actually, I just thought of that now. Mm-hmm. Boom, you get hit in the back. It's like your upper left shoulder. You already know where to turn. Whereas, like, playing without any haptic... device, it would just be like, you know, visual effect.
Yeah, and that's not always as reliable as even in flat screen.
Yeah.
It's like even though they give you indicators,
the where am I getting hit from effect?
You got to get hit twice to really pay attention. So the first time gets your attention and you see like the little white thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time you're like, oh, okay, that's where, but now you just got hit twice. I'd rather get hit once.
I even remember shooters or back in the day when you would be getting hit. It would show you like a red thing around you, and it would show you like an arrow on the screen of the direction that you're getting hit from.
A lot of shooters still do that.
Yeah. I haven't played flash screen shooters in so long. It's been so VR heavy. VR shooters are, I hate to say better because I never like to be comparative like that, but for myself personally, it's just so much more fun being able to aim with my hands than a controller. Like flat screen, trying to go back of any genre, trying to go back to flat screen shooters is probably the
key to the hardest. Flat screen, especially on PC, a lot of it comes down to your settings.
Mm-hmm.
So your mouse settings, your fucking
how fast, your sensitivity, your
in-game settings. Oh yeah, dude, it's like
VR is just, it feels so much more real. Obviously,
it's more you than a mouse and a keyboard, and which, you know, if you don't have good settings, you're just never going to have that advantage. So everyone's on that same playing field. Other than Pop One, they give you some, you know, that type of minimal setting shit don't matter. But
so huge props to Othergate for continuing to update Dungeons of Eternity, bringing what the community wants. People have been asking for two-handed weapons, two-handed swords. I can't wait to have a big great sword and swing that bad boy.
If it does a shit ton of damage, I'll do it. Otherwise, no.
My fear is that it's going to go on the back slot. In my back slot, man, I don't think that there's an item that they could add to the game that would make me give up my ice staff. Or they would have to really nerf the ice. Because I love, that's such a good backup. How many times have we been swarmed by like 8 enemies? And it's, I just go, hold my beer. Pew! Use a whole gem.
The sword I use has the occasional
freeze
percentage. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
Well, because freeze is a guaranteed kill the next hit on them. So
you still got to swing, though. Well, yeah, swing pretty. You can't go boogie boogie.
You're getting swarmed by them. You freeze all of them. Boom. And then you come in and shoot them. It's worked so good so many times. So I love Dungeons of Eternity. Great game. Adding haptic support. Raising the level cap. People swarmed and hit that max level so fast at release because people love the game so much. So 25 plus more rooms, randomized loot, great stuff.
Nightmare mode.
I think that might be, that and the rooms are the things that I'm most excited for in the update for sure. So great stuff. We'll take an ad break. We'll be back with you in just a moment. You know, after a word from these sponsors, like I said, this usually it's just Manscaped, but this week for this episode, we have Manscaped and BeHaptics as sponsors. Look at that, moving up in the world. But as always,
I love BeHaptics, dude.
Yeah.
As a non-owner of one, I love them. It's so stupid. I live vicariously through.
Well, because they're reviews. So cutting edge with their haptics. There's other haptic companies.
It's instant adding to the immersion.
Mm-hmm.
So put this on and your experience is going to get even better. And if I already have a great experience, it's going to be even better. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, come on, man.
And there's other haptic companies, but when you really look at, for one, like the functionality of it, you know, the reviews of it are great. And also just the library of games that it's compatible with. Again, even natively standalone on the Quest.
So I said they're the name net.
The household name of haptics.
We are the softer side of haptics.
So as always, though, before we take an ad break, huge shout out to our Patreon supporters. You know, these are people that are partly responsible for us getting PC VR, right? These people have supported some of them since the Patreon launched. So huge thank you to our Patreon supporters on our on-air shout-out tier. We have Asim, Amelia, Earth Witness, Carson, Generic Vibes, TPZ, Jake, Crispy, and Shoes. So thank you all for your continued support. We have some other Patreon members as well, too, because we have other tiers besides on-air shout-out tier. So if you want to support the show in that regard, you can go visit the link in our show notes. Check out what Patreon tier options we have if you like any of them. You know, we have, obviously, on-air shout-out tiers, as you heard. We have another option to have your name across the bottom of the screen on a rolling ticker. We have another option that doesn't give you any on-air shout-out. It's just a kind of support, but we give you access to an exclusive channel in our Discord just for Patreon peeps, which I always say it's good to have the foundation of that set, because as the Discord server grows, it's kind of cool to have the Patreon spot, you know? So you get access to an exclusive channel in our Discord server, which, as always, anybody can join our Discord server. You can find the link for that in our show notes as well. It's a community of Rough Talk VR podcast fans. You know, you all get to talk about VR. We have great discussions, obviously related to virtual reality, but also food, movies, books, adventures, just off-topic stuff, pretty much everything. It's a great community. There's game meetups, happy hour meetups, which was last week as well, where people just get together and they chat for like some cases like 3 hours, if not longer. So go check out the Discord. Go check out the Patreon if you're a fan of the show. Also, don't forget, subscribe, rate us 5 stars. If you're on YouTube, like, smash that like button, as you always like to say. Comment, share it with your friends, and enjoy this ad break. Hey everyone, step up your game with B-Haptics, the leaders in immersive haptic technology. And we're excited to share that B-Haptics TacSu X40 and X16 are now official Made for Meta accessories. Experience the future of gaming with real-time haptic feedback that transforms each virtual encounter into a tangible adventure. And here's the best part. Until April 28th, enjoy an exclusive 20% off on both the TacSu X40 and X16 at the official B-Haptics store. Just visit bhaptics.com/shop to claim your discount and elevate your gaming today. Don't miss out. Enhance your VR experience today with B-Haptics.
This episode is brought to you by the Spring Cleaning Champions Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code word RUFFTALKVR for 20% off plus free shipping. After using Manscaped, I can finally say I have caught the spring fever. Introducing the season's champ, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth generation trimmer features 2 interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads. A standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. It also features dual LED spotlights to guide you through the darkest winter debris. Navigate with confidence in your delicate areas. Hate making a mess? Not to worry. This bad boy is waterproof. Shave in the shower, in the bath, or in the ocean. Spring cleaning doesn't just apply to the nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Whether you're looking to craft your signature look or clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code word RUFFTALKVR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code word RUFFTALKVR at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants.
And we are back. And something that I forgot to talk about last week, so I definitely have to bring it up now, Battle Bows VR and Micro Machines VR. They are 2 games made by Wemo Games. And, you know, unfortunately, the other month, Wemo Games shut down. One of the developers that was working there, he's actually in our Discord as well, Tom. Great dude. So super sad to see the studio, you know, close pretty much right off the release of Micro Machines. But it just came out last week that Micro Machines and Battle Bows are getting picked up by Beyond Frames as a publisher, one of our favorite publishers in VR, and one of their studios called Moon Mode Games is going to handle, you know, the development, the publishing, and the maintenance of it. So Battle Bows was a fun game. We never dived into Micro Machines, but
I played it.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How was it? Was it
because we had early access to Micro Machines?
Mm-hmm. I never ended up getting a chance to go into it.
Do I feel it deserved the
onslaught
online beating that it took? Absolutely not.
It took in some ways, almost felt coordinated beating.
Oh, it was a coordinated attack.
Then the studio shuts down a week later. It was a little sad to see.
I don't believe in coincidences, so it's like, I don't know. It just seemed wicked, way too coordinated. And so it was not that bad. I'm like, wow, I could look at a whole bunch of shit that's like really bad and nobody's talking. Mm-hmm. In some cases, some people are even fucking praising a terrible product. And that kind of annoyed me even further. I have full faith in Beyond Frames. So. Mm-hmm.
As a publisher in Moon Mode Games, one of their studios, hell yeah. And Battle Bows, like you said, it was fun co-op experience.
Battle Bows is good.
It was fun. You can use the elements to chain reactions and stuff to, you know, the gameplay goes... It's very simple to learn, but it goes deep as you continue to learn it, too.
What sucks about Battle Bows is, like, the studio, to me, they put out a great base product and could have easily have just build and build and build and added to it to get the player coming back. And, even in Discord, I think they had a couple of play sessions.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did. So it's just sad to see the...
Yeah, there was a couple Battle Bows play sessions.
Yeah, and the company didn't go under, like, overnight, so it's like people knew it was going to happen. It just sucks that they... It putting out product, literally, and then just, eh.
It seems like it was a make it or break it release. Like, we'll release it, and if sales are good, we survive. If not, we're done, and probably they didn't meet what needed to be met to survive, because they shut down like a week later.
I mean, crazy. I would think Battle Bows wasn't doing bad. I don't remember what came out relatively close or with it as far as other game releases. But
no, but that's a great example of like...
Micro Machines, though. I feel like they took a beating.
Well, like Battle Bows was a great example of the benefit of a community, like a Discord community and a community manager and game session events. I remember when we talked to them, they didn't have a Discord server. And then we started to do some play sessions on ours. But that's a game that's like designed for...
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight.
In our brain, like what you said, like they could have kept building on if it really... Yeah. But you need to have real community engagement, consistent active weekly events, get-togethers, meetups.
After we interviewed them, I was like, they need a
community manager.
I think we joked about applying.
Yeah, we should pitch ourselves more for those situations.
Glad we didn't.
Because it had such a...
I've been employed for a week.
It had such a good base that, like, with the right push of engagement.
You could have maintained a nice competitive leagues. Community. Correct. Oh, no,
game
like I
nights.
Said, there was a lot of...
Challenges.
There was a lot of directions they could have gone with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it, to me, it was a long-term investment, not an out-of-the-gate gold mine. I mean, you got to have some real special shit
mm-hmm.
to be able to come, you know, Ghost of Tabor, Grand Theft Auto, anything like that, Grimm, Silent North, they're going to drop. People are going to be all over it. So, okay, you can kind of bank on a certain percentage, but something like Battle Bows, the base product is good. It functioned really well.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good time when I played it.
I love co-op. Who doesn't love co-op in VR? It's fun.
So it, you know, I'm glad that it was picked up,
especially by Beyond
exactly.
Frames.
Well, that's kind of what makes it even better, because
the winner of our Publisher of the Year last year.
If anybody can, I don't think they would have done it
mm-hmm.
if they didn't believe in it.
They have such a diverse library of published titles. Ghost of Tabor at this point, they're crowning gem. But before that, you know, they also have Mixture. A great game. They also have Wands. Remember Wands Alliance? Mm-hmm. We had one of our best competitive games.
We never played the devs.
No,
we were supposed to play
things didn't
them.
Line up. I think that they went on holiday.
They did.
And then things just, it just
like
never.
One of those long European holidays mm-hmm. too.
Those ones
like,
that have us Americans jealous.
Now
you know?
I got the weekend off.
Yeah. You know? I'm sitting here like,
and
whoa,
they made me use vacation time.
Remind me to go move and work in Sweden, you know?
Right.
Or pretty much anywhere in Europe for that regard. But Wands Alliance was a lot of fun. That's another very different than Mixture, very different than Ghost of Tabor.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have these ones. And then they also have Out of Hand, which also just got an update, a brawler update, which you fight in an arena for as long as you can against NPCs and try to get, you know, the highest possible score for the leaderboard. And Out of Hand is one of those games that uses that Gorilla Tag-esque local motion. Where, you know, the drag and pull yourself and launch yourself, but you're very bouncy in it. It's unique in that regard. It's fun. I mean, I didn't beat the game, but I don't remember like combat like that in it. This looks like a new for this game mode, and it looks really fun. You're bouncing around, you're smashing the shit out of things. Like, let's go. So, Beyond Frames Entertainment constantly bringing updates to their existing games as well. So, great, great publisher. To get, you know, to scoop up those two titles.
Yeah, and it'll live on. What they're going to do with Micro Machines, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my head, there's a lot you can do with it. Again, there was a base for it.
To me, the real money of the two is the base of Battle Bows.
Yeah, if I had to pick between the two, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's got a stronger foundation. And it's
just missing that community push.
Well, it's social, too. So yeah. It's like, it's got where Micro Machines is not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it was a BOGO.
Buy one, get one. For,
buy
yeah,
one,
yeah,
get
yeah.
one.
Like, you don't. Look. You can't just get one. No, I totally think that's possible.
I
as well,
insist.
Yeah,
but we don't want it. But I insist. You know,
please.
Look,
take this one.
We're closed. You know, I mean, if you don't take it, if you don't take this, I'm throwing it away. One of those situations. Whoa.
Think of it though.
Crazy.
Micro Machines VR, that comes with that license. Who knows the final workings? Was it a one game license deal? Multiple game license deal? That might be worth grabbing, just depending on the potential licensing.
It was a
Micro Machines is a big title, right?
If I had to speculate, it was a we're closing shop. No, I'm dead serious. Like, we're closing shop. Release the fucking game. We're not going to be able to put what we wanted to into it.
I meant, though. I just meant like.
I'm just speculating on what I thought was going on.
Mm-hmm.
What was going down with it. That they just dumped it early. Mm-hmm. It was never intended to be released at the time it was released.
That's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Put all their eggs into that last basket push.
Yeah, without even finishing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Without like, eh.
But it might have been worth it for Beyond Frames to scoop it up, just depending on the IP it comes with.
Especially if it was a BOGO.
Does the IP expire after Micro Machines VR, or did WeMo Games sign a deal with Micro Machines to make multiple games? And if that deal is now yours, that's totally worth scooping up. Mm-hmm. Big IPs, you know? But I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Somebody,
cool stuff.
Somebody might have wanted it just for the code.
Shit, it could have just been as simple as somebody went, I loved Micro Machines as a kid.
I want it.
That's it. I mean, that's serious. Could be the opposite. They didn't want Battle Bows, and this guy just wanted...
Could you imagine?
They just wanted WeMo Games.
I just want the Micro Machines, man.
Yep.
You're going to make me get Battle Bows, too? The fuck?
Whereas we're sitting here like, you know, hey, you know, you got to get pushed for the Micro Machines.
Well, I just look at the one that make you the most long-term money, and it's like Battle Bows was... It's definitely a more long-term money.
It's because we see the vision of it with, like, again, community nights, you know, events, challenges.
Discord, not in our Discord, I'm saying, like, had they had pre-established.
Correct.
Pre-launch Discord to, like, kind of have the shit
ready. I remember when we talked
place.
To them that they had some people on their leaderboard that were incredibly active in the game.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you should have them in a community.
It's easy, I guess, for us to say, but we saw it go down with, mm-hmm. in that aspect.
But great shell. Great shell.
Yeah, man.
You know, so much to work with, and I have full faith in Beyond Frame's ability to really, you know, capitalize on the potential of both of those games, really.
Well, so, I don't see Beyond Frame's putting out crap. So
no.
If they're going to put their name attached to it, there's a reason.
So quick one on this one. This will just be a quick mention. Because, you know, Quest 2s are selling like hotcakes priced at $199 right now.
Liquidation sales.
Yeah, basically. I mean, dude, they're really flooding the market with Quest 2s right now. Mm-hmm. People are buying them. Let's be real.
For $200, why wouldn't you?
We had a great time with our Quest 2. Look, obviously, look at the podcast. We started a whole podcast because of the Quest 2. Like, we fell in love with it. It's a great device. Is the Quest 3 significantly better? Hell yes. Yeah. But the fact that you can get the access to that Quest library, access to the technology of standalone VR gaming for $199, for $199.
Plus applicable tax.
Yes, taxes and fees.
State wants their cut, unless you're in New Hampshire.
Or you're in a duty-free zone, like one of those airport
Ooh,
spots.
I never thought of that.
Bet you they sell Quest those.
No, we should have just gone up to New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yep, big brain moves right there.
But they were the same price, right? Yeah.
But $199 for a Quest 2 is a crazy bargain.
Yeah, I mentioned it before.
Get it for, like, your kids at that price. Like,
it allows for lower income mm-hmm. families to have newer
technology yeah.
that they never would be able to have. It's just a fucking fact of life.
Now
that's
it would only
works.
Be $400 in Brazil.
And that what we mentioned that too.
Correct. The cheaper
the price
it gets,
just went down.
Yeah, the cheaper it goes down, like that, it does make it more realistic for countries like Brazil that, for whatever reason, feel the need to 100% tax that. That was crazy talking to the VR monkey peoples, and they were like, "Yeah, $200 headset, $400, $500 headset, $1,000 US.
Good music, good food, good parties, but I'm not paying that kind of import tax, Ev."
$1,000 US, now bring that over to Brazilian reals, and you start to see how unrealistic some of that technology is. But at 200, it's still expensive, you know, doubled, but we're getting there. And for, you know, places that aren't so extreme with their import taxes and stuff, like, or even here, you know, dude, $200, that's nice for entry-level VR. But all that being said, the news about it, besides the price reduction of the Quest 2 at $199, hell of a bargain, Meta just discounted the Quest 2 official accessories from their website over 50%. So like the elite strap with the charging, the carrying case, all of their accessories for the Quest 2, slash, over 50% off.
Let me tell you, the Quest 2 is so cheap. How cheap is it? I saw homeless people playing it, all right? Homeless people chilling, playing VR. So
I just feel like
it's affordable.
They're flooding the market with it. But you know what they've now learned? That if they sell a Quest Lite for $250, or even if they can somehow do it with a new device, $200, that price range sells like hotcakes.
Dude, you can't really buy anything for $200.
So if they drop
that, any console, you really can't buy any headset for $200.
And for the cutting edge technology that is standalone VR. Yes, again, like I said earlier, there's a Quest 3 out now. It's better. But you get access to that introduction to VR for somebody that might not be able to afford that $500 before taxes for a Quest 3. They get that library for $200, mm-hmm. That technology.
It actually gets better than that, because now what that instantly did was take the used value of the Quest 2 and just absolutely decimate it.
Oh my God, what's a used Quest 2 now?
So now
$99.
So now you're probably scooping them all day long.
$120
for $100.
Oh my goodness!
Because why would I give you $150?
It's not even. Yeah, I might as well just spend the extra $50 at that point.
If for $50 more, I can get a brand new one that's going to come with a fucking warranty that, you know, Facebook Marketplace won't. So
they keep doing it like this. I'm going to be so curious how many Quest 2s have been officially sold on the day the life. Like, all right, we no longer support the Quest 2. How many were sold, you know? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a sick amount. So great stuff. You know, cheap headset for the Quest 2. Now cheap accessories as well. Too bad those Quest 3 accessories didn't get slashed either.
You know what I'm seeing a lot of for sale?
What?
the Apples. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seeing the prices under $3,000. And I'm like, ooh, that's very interesting.
That's people that just missed their return window.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were returns and stuff. But hey, credit to Apple. They did it. They released their first generation.
They did.
They made a buck off of it. I mean, when you add up the total amount of sales times,
I think they spent
$3,500.
Probably spent more.
It was a decade of research and development on it before they released shit. They probably lose a lot of money on it.
I'm thinking they spent more in marketing than they took in sales from the actual headset.
But they did it. They released their first one. By all rumors and reports. No, that's not the rumor. I have full faith that they'll release additional ones, whether they'll get cheaper, whether it'll be worth the price. That's a different conversation. But hey, Apple's in the market. If you know what, man? I would never believe that people, like common people, go and sign up for a cell phone and walk away with a smartwatch. So Apple can pull some shit off.
Yeah, you can. They give them away for free with the phone.
They don't give them away for free. You think they give them away for free.
With the phone.
You think it does, but it adds to your
bill. I got my iPad. I just had to, we had to get a dedicated phone line so I can make phone calls for my mm-hmm. iPad. So it's got Wi-Fi. It's got everything. So that was the spiel. Yep. We'll give it to you for free if you get the
next year for additional PAX, line. Next year for PAX, I want to get a cellular hotspot. It just makes sense, right? When we were live streaming and it was like choppy data, I was like, well, yeah, this would make sense.
They do, but they don't always come through.
So what I'm going to do, though, is we're going to go into Verizon. We're going to hardball them and say, hey, look, I want the best hotspot you got, but it better come with an Apple Vision Pro.
I need goggles. I need to walk around.
Dude, I want the Meta Ray-Bans so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. When I was at PAX, that was when it really kicked in.
That's when it hit me. I was like, wow, this would be a lot easier.
I saw Mateo have them.
Yeah. You know what I like when he had his on was this. Anytime he'd go to turn it on, he'd let you know. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, I'm recording.
But they're stylish. They look nice.
I would have to really tell that they were fucking
smart glasses,
4K smart glasses.
I would have to get mine custom with the prescription, but that's okay. I would pay the extra 50 or 100 or whatever, but yeah, that's
especially
that's,
for fairs and shit like that. Mm-hmm. It's,
I want a pair.
It's ideal.
I'm pretty sold on them, mm-hmm. honestly, at this point.
And you can use them outside. So hey, unlike your headset that you want to not use outside and
shout out to the MetaQuest creator program that we're in, you know, the, be cool, you know, I'm just saying, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, you want to send some Ray-Bans your boys way? I'm just kidding. No. Huge shout out to the creator program. We got a nice welcome box from them the other week. Came with some nice accessories. So we got the nice elite strap now for our headset, which is nice. So huge shout out to the creator program doing their thing. But, you know, if you ever want to swing your boy some Ray-Bans too. I'm just so jealous of them. They're nice. They're nice. They're real nice.
Yeah, I don't see any being for sold used yet.
No, that's actually interesting. That's a good point. I have. It seems like everybody that's gotten them has been.
Not that I'm looking. I just like to look at the prices and how they adjust. I haven't seen any really popping up.
The general review I've heard is I got them. I had all right expectations, but I wasn't really expecting the most. And it's way better than I thought it would be. So every time I hear that, I'm like, I'm kind of sold, but nonetheless.
I don't hear anybody saying they broke either.
No.
Which is pretty impressive for sunglasses.
Well, dude, if they're prescription, if I can have them prescription as well, it's like, yeah, I could just wear them in place of my glass. I don't have to put them over. It's like, it's so practical. I wear glasses anyway. Why not? I'm down. Mm. Sign me up. Just saying. So, another piece of news. A game we loved, the Light Brigade. One of the best roguelites of last year. They launched a new update. They're calling their Shadow Hunter update. It brings a new class of character to play as called a Hunter, which is a bow and arrow character. It has a recurve bow and throwing knives. You say yay because when we did our review of it, that was like one of our big, you know, it just feels like it made, you know, bow and arrow work so good in it.
In VR, so yeah. What can I say?
And you know what? Now they've added it. So the Hunter class brings a bow and arrow to the game as well as throwing knives. They also added a new whole world to do a procedurally generated runs through. So huge props to Funktronic Labs for continuing to bring, you know, new, fresh, great content to the Light Brigade.
They had me at bows.
Yeah.
So the throwing knives, even better because they look like they function pretty damn good. And I got hooked on using the throwing knives in
Assassin's Creed. The bow. Like,
vicious.
The bow looked deadly accurate, too. Now, granted, whoever was recording the video was probably a developer, probably really freaking good at using the bow, too, so there's probably that aspect.
Or aim assist.
Yeah, it looked sharp, though. It looked, accurate. Good. Yeah.
It's a nice bow creak.
Yeah, it's a recurve bow, so it's a nice size, too. They did a really good job with the scale of that. So, good
it's
stuff.
It's a 125-pound pull.
And they've added a few classes previously to the Light Brigade since launch.
They got a good following.
And the way it works is there's always requirements to unlock each class, so you're not going to be able to go in and just grab the Hunter class. You know, you're going to need to get to X level on a certain class, then you'll have access. So huge props to the developers, Funktronic Labs. They've continued to bring new, great content to an already great game. Like I said, I was kind of skeptical of roguelites for a while, but that's one of the games that really...
There's a few.
That... kind of convinced me that I need to just stop saying I don't like the genre. I was like, once the Light Brigade came out, I was like, damn it, this one's a shooter one and I'm loving it. Like I'm hooked on it. You know what? Damn it. I love it. Then you see games like Underdogs come out, roguelite. Guess what? Freaking love it.
I don't know why it doesn't feel as roguey as...
Because of the story.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Even though it's like a choose your own adventure story, but it is a roguelite, but like I know exactly what you mean.
Just doesn't feel as roguey.
It's too good to be a roguelite, you know?
It's too good.
I mean, Underdogs.
My opinion of roguelites has changed over the past 3 years, immensely.
It started with Mother Gunship Forge. That was the first one.
That's my favorite roguelite.
It's so, the weapon crafting. I want to see another game
I
utilize
see Metal
that.
Metal Gunship Forge too.
Yeah.
With all new weapons on, but that concept, dude, is mind boggling.
Do you remember the first time we played it together? Go up, and I just remember your voice. Like, you were like, amazement. It was all processing in your brain when you realized that you could just put whatever you wanted on whatever. You were like, wait, I already see how this is going. You were like, no way.
Dude, I invested so much. Remember when I posted that ridiculous high score?
Endless run, yeah.
And then someone beat me.
I think it was Crispy.
It was Crispy?
I think so. Somebody beat you bad, though.
Yeah. And I'm mad props because I know how long it took.
Well, they let you stop the run.
Still. You can stop it 10 times. 12 hours is 12 hours. Yeah. Or, you know, whatever. But yeah.
Damn. I think his headset was like crashing with it too. It was like so much enemies.
That was purposely done because someone posts a score and you're going to go out of your way to beat it. You're
going to beat it bad.
Yeah.
You're going to put the full 5-round whooping on it, you know?
I think I remember the final score and was like, fuck, I just don't have it in me.
I can't do that. I
can't do that again. And then I tried and the weapon, the luck of the draw of these weapons you get. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get the luck of the draw. But love that fucking game, dude. One of my favorites.
Yeah. You know what's, you see me rocking the Demio shirt from Resolution Games. We've been recently hopping into Demio again recently. Such a good game. I mean, it's the first ever episode of Rough Talk VR for a reason, reviewing it. Mm-hmm. But it's just so much fun.
It's never been stale.
It's crazy.
Never, dude.
To have mid-game saves now and be able to utilize
game
them.
Game changer.
And be like, yo, this wasn't in here 6 months
ago.
Thank
you so much.
Remember when there wasn't even saves in between dungeon levels? It was just start to finish thing. You're like,
you're just playing till you're dead.
That's why we would stop playing for a while because like that's
take
a lot
hours,
of commitment.
Dude.
Yeah. I got to get my charger.
Shit.
Then they added the ability to save in between levels in between floors of the dungeon, which is nice, but like sometimes you're in a lot like a trapped battle. I mean, we've been in the same level for like 2 to 3 hours before.
Mm-hmm.
So now they added the ability for you to save anywhere the other week, and we've been really taking advantage of it.
Been doing wicked good too.
Yeah, we got one more floor to go through on our current one.
I'm excited.
I have like the most because we went shopping right
we're
before
stacked,
we saved.
Dude, I'm the so, both of us, it's stupid.
I'm going in my first move. I'm dropping like 2 ice elemental the elementals, and things are gonna get crazy. I use 2 guardians. You use 2 of the archers.
Yep.
The ranger, I think, is the name, and we just go to town. We've been doing good.
Yeah, my cards are so stacked.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd hope by floor 3 that you have but sometimes we're playing and like I can't keep cards. I use them pretty much as soon as they come because like shit's so intense.
The beating is coming.
And this one I've had 10 out of 10 cards in my hand so much that like I've actually had cards turned away because my hand's full. I'm
full,
like
got the 11.
And there's nothing in my hand I want to give up. I'm like I don't want to drop my healing ward. I don't want to drop Heaven's Fury. What do I want to get rid of? It's all good. All right. It's what it is, you know. Got like 3 healing potions.
We'll have to finish it this week.
Yeah.
Amongst the excitement of the PCs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's even going to happen.
Oh, man. This isn't even on my list of things to talk about, but a game that you went to a couple weeks ago, and then I finally did the tutorial, and then we did a multiplayer expansion. It's like a real-time strategy game in VR. It's funny when you load in, the screen says the earliest of access, early access on it. It says early access, but above it, the earliest of access. And it's basically a 1v1 real-time strategy game with quick sessions. There's no real like story or campaign or vast map with 5 different enemies. It's kind of 1v1 style. And you just place enemies and you have to try to get, you know, they just move across the map and they fight the other opponent's enemies and you have to try to destroy the other team's main base. Just to do it very simple. We finally played a multiplayer, and you kicked my ass twice last night.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't cool, bro.
I've been playing it for the past...
Yeah, that was my first night playing it, in
2 weeks. So I go in, and I fucking mop that AI, dude. It was my only beef is, like, I'm like, I want to play a human, because...
Mm-hmm. And we had some fun ones last night, though. It was, like, locked for a bit.
Yeah.
You were, like, slowly getting the lead on me, like, inch by inch.
My secret, I even shared it with you, is like, if you see like a certain way someone's playing, you can counter, you can throw counters to that and then kind of play the way you want to. And it's a game of just advantage. So you get a slight advantage over someone, you see the push starting to take place. It's like, uh-oh, every like couple of minutes, you see that the fight's getting closer to that person's base, but you let your guard down for a second or start making some bad choices, you're screwed.
Where you're at,
tug of war.
Where you're screwed too is you can play your stuff like halfway down the map, and then it's the other person's like place area. But there's these two protective beacons that you can destroy before you destroy the main base. And if you destroy one of those beacons, you can now place your troops pretty much like in a huge radius that wasn't available before.
Much closer.
So now it's like if you lose one of your pillars, I mean, it's downhill. Because like now, how are you going to win with them placing it right there, you know? And it looks like you can change out your cards or like your playable things, but I haven't like dived too much into that. Like, so with my first night playing,
I bought two other characters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do with them. Or but
you
where
can
they
tell.
Are.
You can tell it's something that like everything has
active. You know,
you can tell it's one of those things where this troop beats this troop, but this troop beats this troop, yeah. Which beats this troop. So you kind of have to have ready everything to counter that they're placing, whilst not only being on the deep. You can't just be on the back pedal the whole time and reacting to what they do.
They'll push on you.
So you not only have to counter what they're doing, you know, place the appropriate troops to react to that. Come on, man, you got to have some offense on you too. So you have to be aggressive with it. So great game. For the earliest of access, it's a good shell.
I like it.
Mixed reality mode, good graphics in it.
Love
well
the mixed
too.
Reality mode for you know, the style of gaming. So I can see my tables next to me and shit.
I find the play area to be really good graphics too. With the little guys just moving across, like it's tight. I mean, granted, they're small, but I don't know. I enjoy the game a lot. I'm excited to see where it goes, and I hope we continue to see more real-time strategy games like that.
My only complaint
is... Too easy of AI?
Well, okay. My second only complaint, when you start the game, you start high in the air at the ends, where I'd rather start low on the side. That's all.
I'd also like to see more play options. Like, I want to face multiple enemies that, like, dude, four people on one map. That'd be intense. It'd be fun. But I understand the 1v1.
Well, for earliest of access. Correct. I'm sure there's a much larger roadmap coming for this.
So understanding how early access of it is, that it is, if you like real-time strategy games, highly recommend Expansion VR.
Yeah, it's fun.
And then I'm officially hooked on Medieval Dynasty Story Mode. Mm-hmm. I am hooked. Every time I get a chance to. You go to bed, there's 30 minutes left in my play session. I'm going in there and I'm chipping away at that main story. I'm hooked, but I got a tip for everybody I got to squeeze in because I effed up pretty bad in the main story where I'm doing quests and then I would alternate between doing a quest and then, example, I do a quest. Now it says I can build a medium house instead of a small house. So I'm going to go build that medium house. Then I got to collect the resources. Boom. So I'm at a point, I was at a point in the story where I had built everything I had unlocked. Smithy, you know, the pottery station, the fletching station. I built this resource station, a big house. So I'll do quest, build. Quest, build. And then I'm just about to turn in this quest. And then the day ends and it changes the season. Now it's wintertime. So then I turn in this last quest that I do. And they're like, all right, yeah. Now you should probably go work on your base a little bit, you know. And then the objective of the quest is wait one season, wait till the next season. So I'm like, damn, if I had just quested until the point that it says wait until next season and then use that opportunity to focus on building my frontier, my area, it would have worked out a lot better timing. So to anybody playing the game for their first play session in the story mode, I give that suggestion. Do the story mode until it tells you wait until the next season and then focus on your base and stuff like that. But once you get the bow and arrow in that game too, dude, pew, you're so freaking OP.
Game changer.
It's beyond OP. So we've gone late.
It's better than a rock or a fucking an axe.
So we have a couple more pieces of news I'll just rush through real quick because it's been a long day for us. We did this episode. Before this, we had, like I said at the start, great interview with Joe Halper for Nope Challenge. We also recorded our next episode of Tabor Radio interviewing Mr. Witty. So stay tuned for that May 1st. That's going to be a great, great episode as well. So last piece of news, just to kind of rush through them a little bit faster. A mech game that was featured at the Rough Talk VR Gaming Showcase. Big Shots VR. It officially launched last week. So definitely, I haven't checked it out yet, but I'm itching for it.
I just keep thinking Billy Joel. So you want to be a big shot.
That'd be a great load-in song in the main. You can't. It's so expensive and stuff like that. But in a fantasy world,
Billy Joel's pretty chill, dude.
In a fancy world, that would be great, dude. We got to check out this game this week too because it's playable single player or co-op. So we've been looking for some more co-op games.
Yeah, man.
Big Shots VR. We got to check it out.
Man.
So it came out last week. Wicked cool stuff.
Underdogs meets this game,
and then, dude, I have not gone into Underdogs in a couple weeks, and it's killing me. You know, they've been teasing a lot of updates with like a roadmap, pretty much since launch, and one that they've said maybe is a possibility, but they have not committed to at all, is multiplayer. And I would love to do an Underdogs run with you, choke slamming dogs, robotic dogs. People hear choke slamming dogs are gonna be like, what the hell? But like the robot dogs, you know. Smash them in the meat grinder.
Yeah, I don't care if they're real dogs. If they're in that game, I'm punching the shit out of them.
The game is so fun. So to be able to do that all, each have a different mech, too, of like different upgrades, it's my dream. But nonetheless, Big Shots VR launched last week. I'm excited to check it out.
You want to be a big shot.
We also saw the YouTube app finally update on the Quest 3, and now it supports 8K videos. Quality-wise, including immersive 360 videos.
Yay.
So the YouTube app was very outdated before, as is the Netflix app on the Quest, but it wasn't really supporting the highest quality, you know, 360 VR experiences. So you would go into YouTube, go to view them, and it'd be like, wow, this is really bad quality. Now it's better quality, so that's a great update. And then we also saw Synth Riders. They dropped a new 80s mixtape. No songs that really stuck out to me like, you know, the last Beat Saber hip hop track pack we loved so much. This one, you know, wasn't really songs for me, but there's a bunch of 80s kids, you know, a bunch of 80s fans that are going crazy for it. So Synth Riders with their new 80s mixtape. And then also 4VR Cornhole is getting a mixed reality mode on April 24th.
Nice.
So a couple days now. That's pretty cool. And then lastly, Quest version 64. Which brought support for things like external mics, improved the pass-through quality a bit, you know, some cool stuff like that. There was two undocumented features that they didn't advertise launched in the update. It was only figured out by people, well, using it. One of those being now in the room scan, when it scans your room for the mixed reality experiences, you used to scan the room, and then you would, if you wanted to, you could draw, there's your table. You could draw, there's your window. And you would draw the rectangle box around it, change the shape, label it. It was very tedious. Now, the Quest 3 can scan your room. And when it scans it, it'll be like, there's a table right there. That's a door. That's a TV. You know, it'll label all of your furniture like that. And the accuracy of it's pretty freaking good. So for games like Drop Dead the Cabin, that you need to outline a window and a table for it to proceed. Remember the first time we went into the mixed reality mode, we were like, what the hell are we doing wrong? Why won't it let us play? That's a game changer for those type of apps. So really cool. And then also in the home environment, now you can use a controller in one hand and hand tracking in the other, which you laughed. You're like, I don't know why I would need that, but cool that it exists. I figure it's one of those things that you, even if you can't think of a use case, if you ever needed to do it and you couldn't do it, you would be like, what the hell? Why can't I do that? So cool stuff. So that's it. That's all I got for news. We're done. That's it. It's a wrap. We're waiting for our PC. Should come Tuesday and Wednesday. A couple days of setup. Great interview dropping on Wednesday as well with Nope Challenge. So good stuff. Like I said, too, next episode of Tabor Radio, talking with Mr. Witty on May 1st. Cool stuff. So if you enjoyed this episode, as always, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, check out our Discord server that I pitched earlier. If you're feeling really generous, you can even check out our Patreon too. I won't be mad at you. So, other than that, we'll check you out next week. Ciao, ciao. I'm sorry, we'll check you out on Wednesday.
Yeah.
What am I saying?
The other next week.
Yeah. And then actually, real quick, before we wrap it up, one more thing I almost forgot. One of our favorite VR games, so this would have been tragic to forget, Walkabout Mini Golf. In typical fashion, they're hard at work, pumping out new DLCs all the time, and they announced last week that they have a new DLC coming out on April 25th, so that's Thursday, titled Venice. Passport Venice, actually. So, I mean, come on. It's Walkabout Mini Golf. They've never disappointed with the DLC or really even their regular courses yet. I know some people weren't too big on Upside Town, but, you know, even for what it was, I enjoyed it. It was a unique gameplay mechanic. I've never been disappointed by what Mighty Coconut puts out. So, man, if we didn't bring this up, this would have been tragic. I actually realized right after we wrapped it up, Stratus is actually even gone. I'm just solo talking about it, but we had to squeeze this in. I messaged him right away. I was like, hey, where's the Walkabout talk? He's like, oh, no, squeeze it in real quick at the end. So, yeah, Walkabout Mini Golf this Thursday, April 25th, dropping their next DLC, Passport Venice. So make sure you got your passport up to date because, geez, Venice, supposed to be a beautiful city. So, I mean, Walkabout's going to deliver. I'm confident of it. Let's see what Edward has in store, both for, you know, hidden ball design, but also, you know, where he's actually going to hide them. So technically 36 holes coming this Thursday between the easy mode and the hard mode. Let's see. Maybe we'll have a video out this week playing it for the first time. Let's see. So now for real, you know, we'll head out. We'll wrap it up. But stay tuned for Walkabout Mini Golf's newest DLC, April 25th. The cost of a cup of coffee, $3.99, worth every penny. Never disappointed. So glad I remembered to bring that one in. So now for real, stay tuned. You know, we'll be back with you on Wednesday for an interview with the developer, the creator of Nope Challenge, a game that's going to make you face your phobias. So stay tuned and ciao, ciao.